So our next presenter is Daniel Vreeman. He's the Assistant Research Professor at the Indiana University School of Medicine and a research scientist at the Regan Streiff Institute. He directs the development of LOINC, an international standard for laboratory and clinical observations, and his research focus is on the role of standardized clinical vocabularies to support electronic HIE. Daniel?
Good afternoon, everyone. You guys know Monty Python. After listening to the first two talks, I feel a little bit like, you know, an app or something completely different.
Yeah.
So hopefully y'all have a little interest in standardized terminologies and data exchange, because I'm going to talk about LOINC, a standard that I'm involved in and have grown to know and love. So here we go. First, I'd like to start by acknowledging both the LOINC and Realm of Development teams at Regan Streiff, who do a smashing job packaging up all the stuff and a lot of hard work, especially as meaningful use and everything is ramping up, as well as the LOINC committee, who provide expertise, and also, importantly, our supporters, National Library of Medicine, Regan Streiff, including the Indiana Center of Excellence in Public Health Informatics, who got us here, the Regan Streiff Foundation. And if you or your organization would like to be on this list, just send me an email afterwards. I'd be happy to, with some money. No, just kidding. So I wanted to mention that this talk and actually a number of other tutorials are available from the LOINC website. We publish all this stuff online. So I'm going to start by telling you a little bit about LOINC, where it came from, what we like to sort of say it's the lingua franca of clinical observation exchange. So the photos of Clem McDonald, who started at Regan Streiff in the early 70s working on electronic medical record systems. In the mid-90s, when Clem and others at Regan Streiff were trying to work on data exchange, we got messages flowing using HL7. It was awesome. And then we looked inside and realized we had a problem. Inside those messages were completely idiosyncratic local codes and names that varied tremendously for identifying the same test or measurement. And so rather than trying to solve this problem just locally, Clem launched this effort for LOINC to try to solve it for everyone by developing a universal standard for identifying laboratory observations and other clinical measurements. And in so doing, we'll try to combat this problem that exists almost everywhere you look, in that much health data currently resides and looks like a big Tower of Babel. So what LOINC is trying to do is provide codes that aggregate things that need to be aggregated and yet provide unique codes for things that might have similar names but actually have important differences. So we're trying to create codes that might tease out the difference between a meerkat and a meerkat. So here's an example, soda or pop, right? You look in a laboratory test compendium, and what do you see? You see a test name like Lyme disease serology. You look in another lab, you see something that's called Lyme disease antibody. Look pretty much like the same thing, right? You know, well, if you take a peek under the covers, you realize that there are some important differences here. So one is an IgG done by ELISA, produces a quantitative result. Another is an IgM measurement done by immune blot that has a qualitative result. So these are the kinds of things that LOINC assigns different identifiers for and has a structured naming convention to let you make sure that you don't automatically equivalence those kinds of things. So LOINC, logical observation identifiers, names, and codes. It's a universal code system facilitating data exchange, pooling, processing, essentially anything that you want to do with aggregate data. So we don't have a cat for a mascot. We actually have a pig. It's very cuddly. You know, LOINC like oink. You know, it's soft, friendly, you know, press me, try me, give us a whirl, that sort of thing. Have a look. So one way to think about the kinds of things that LOINC provides codes for is to sort of phrase it like this. So you think of an observation as being the question and the observation value as being the answer. LOINC is designed to provide codes for questions, and we leave it to other terminologies like SNOMED or ICD in other cases to provide codes for the answers. So your question might be, you're thinking from a laboratory test perspective, you know, what's my patient's hemoglobin level? So LOINC would provide a code and a structured name for that type of measurement. If you think of from a perhaps a broader clinical perspective, your question might be, well, how fast does my patient usually walk? It's a measurement or an observation. And LOINC provides a code and a structured name for that as well. In this case, maybe a 1 week average walking speed might give you that answer. So how does it look in the real world? Well, just think for a moment about a hospital who's sending a result to a aggregate sort of a virtual patient record, which is what happens in our health information exchange, the Indiana Network for Patient Care. Well, they're going to package up that result in an HL7 message, perhaps a version 2 message. And each of these little pipes is a different field in the message, if those of you may or may not be familiar with HL7. But each segment or line has a different kind of information. The top there has header information, which hospital originated this result, where is it going. There's segments for identifying the patient. And then if you get down to the OBR segment, this line here is the panel or battery, the order name. In this case, we're talking about a CBC with auto diff. And then you've got these OBX segments, the result segments, which are the individual measurements under that panel. So if you take a peek at these little bars and you count over 3 slots, you'll find the observation identifier field. And this has a particular structure that consists basically of 2 sets of triplets. So the hats are little subfields. The first triplet identifies the local code and name information, in this case WBC, white blood cell count. And a code system that says, this hospital A came up with this code. But then if you slide over, the second triplet is for an alternate identifier, which in this case you can use to send a standard code such as LOINC. Here you see the LOINC code name, and the little LN over there signifies that this thing came from LOINC. And then a couple fields over, you see the actual value, 10.8. So this gives you an idea. LOINC is designed to fill this slot of being an observation identifier. So what does a LOINC term look like? Well, to use this example, it consists of a code. That's the LOINC code is a unique number with a dash and a mod 10 check digit. It's completely meaningless. Happens to be assigned in sequence, but that's basically the only thing you can tell about it. But the name consists of 6 major axes. And this is where the formal name helps make distinctions about different kinds of measurements. So there's the component or the analyte, the thing you're measuring, the property about that analyte, whether this is a mass concentration, a substance concentration, that sort of a thing that's related to the units of measure. The timing, whether it's point in time or a 24-hour collection, the system, is this thing done on blood, serum, something like that. The scale, is this a quantitative result or is it an ordinal or nominal result? And then the 6th axis is method, and you see in this case it's actually blank. Method is the only optional axis of the LOINC name, and we only populate it when there's clinically significant differences in interpreting the test result depending on how the thing was performed. So in this case the methods are reasonably standardized since we don't actually specify it. So there's sort of 2 divisions of content in LOINC. The lab LOINC content is all the things that you measure on a specimen, basically everything you think of in a normal clinical laboratory. You see the Wordle shows sort of approximate numbers of terms in these different areas. But there's a clinical side of LOINC that contains basically all the tests and measurements you can make on a person, not a sample. And here you see we have a lot of radiology report terms, OB ultrasound, cardiac ultrasound, surveys, standardized assessments, as well as vital signs and the like. So I want to tell you a little bit about the LOINC community and how the standard is developed, and I'd like to use 3 words to describe that process: open, nimble, and pragmatic. So what do I mean by open? Well, open in the sense that everything we publish is distributed worldwide at no cost. It is also open in the sense that all of the new additions to the database are based on requests from the user community. That is, we're not coming up with all the new things and trying to make codes themselves. We actually rely explicitly on a submission process from our wide user base that ensures actually that we're both nimble and pragmatic because we rely on what people actually have in their system. Our public meeting and the decisions about directions are welcome to all comers, and actually a lot of the expert opinion is given up by volunteers. So what is Regenstrief's role in all of this? Well, Regenstrief serves as the overall steward of LOINC. It develops the content, develops some software tools and other tools that we distribute along with the vocabulary. It helps develop and foster the community. It distributes LOINC, and in cases like this, like me serving as the voice to the standard. So over time, this is sort of what our growth curve looks like, starting way back in 1995. You see the orange there signifies how many terms are laboratory related, and that's about 70-30 split there, 30% clinical, 70% lab. But you also notice here that our activity is picking up, and things are getting busier, and we're adding more content, which is actually a function directly of more people using the standard. So the LINC website is where you can go to get basically everything that you might want, including downloading and connecting. We have now more than 12,500 users in 143 different countries, and are growing pretty quickly. So this is the number of new members over time since we launched this registration process, and we're actually adding about 14 new members a day, or more than 400 new members per month. So I mentioned, obviously, you can get LINC from the LINC website. That'd be logical. Yes, actually, a lot of people do, about 1,400 downloads per month. We also make available an online search application that you can go to, just search.loinc.org, for browsing and seeing what we have as far as content. You can put in a test code or a variety of string words to find these things. We also have an online forum for users who can ask questions and do sort of peer-to-peer communication. And we've also published a separate section on the website, loinc.org/usage, that contains two important value sets or subsets of LOINC that might serve as good sort of starter sets. The first one, we developed an empirically derived set of the top 2,000 common lab tests. This was done from a huge pile of data from several contributors. And so we packaged that up and ranked them by orders. This is the top 2,000 that covers more than 98% of the results. And we also wrote up an extensive mapping guidance document for all the terms in this set that sort of give you pointers about here you should choose this one or consider these two things as you're going through this list. So it might be a handy place to take a look at. In addition, we worked through both an empirical process and a consensus process with the ACLA, American Clinical Laboratories Association, National Library of Medicine, and a few other folks to develop the top 300 list of lab orders, which might be useful as an interface from EHRs to laboratories. So both of those are available for free from the LOINC website. So I already mentioned that we have users in a whole bunch of countries. We also have a number of translation efforts cooking. Right now, there are translators working from in 18 different organizations. And in case you wanted to know perhaps how to say glucose in a variety of different ways, this shows actually a sampling of the translations that already exist in LOINC. We know of a number of big implementations around the world. I just listed a few of them here. But actually, sort of one of the take-home points from this list is that success is often silent, meaning that sometimes we don't find out about these things until after the fact and they've already gotten things up and running, which is kind of cool to see people take what you've done and run with it. Within the U.S., there are a couple of sort of key things to mention and perhaps why you might be interested in LOINC. All of the federal agencies that have things to do with healthcare have adopted LOINC starting way back when, but also through things like the Consolidated Health Informatics Initiative and others. And many of the different HIT activities going on now have adopted LOINC. This is sort of the alphabet soup, right, of health information technology stuff, including many health information exchanges and so forth. But one of the big things, obviously, that's cooking right now is the Electronic Health Record Incentive Program, aka Meaningful Use. And in phase one, LOINC was named as the standard for lab results when they came in from a laboratory. But also important for many of you is in the adoption of the Electronic Lab Result to Public Health Agency standard, the implementation guide, if you take a peek at that, it says, you know, over in OBX3, yes, use LOINC as the coding system for your lab test unless the test you're reporting doesn't have a LOINC code, in which case it wouldn't be possible. But so use LOINC there. And then last week, the Standards Committee adopted a set of terminologies for in the context of quality reporting, And in that list was often, across many different domains, this pairing of Loink as the question, SNOMED as the answer for things like functional status, patient preferences, and so forth. So we're pretty excited about that. And John Halumka said, you know, this is a truly momentous event, actually, to sort of come together on this broad set of domains and sort of declare these are the target standards. So just for fun, I wanted to give you a quick snapshot of some of the new things that we're working on. Our job is never done in content representation. So what are some of the new things? Well, standardized assessments, questionnaires, forms, data sets, and so forth is actually a really big area of interest. And we've published a couple of papers about the data model that we've evolved over the last 10 years to represent this kind of content in a pretty robust sort of way. So we've been working pretty hard at building out that content and evolving our model. We've also been involved extensively in modeling a couple of sets of translational research variables. So I don't know if you've heard of the Phoenix Project. This is a set of consensus measurements for phenotypes with the idea that if you, for use in genome-wide association studies, with the idea that if we measured phenotype consistently, then we'd be better able to understand the variations we saw in the genome. And so they've got a huge set, 11,000 or so variables that we've been working through and modeling and representing in Loink. So that's been a big effort. Two-thirds were done in the last release, and I think by the coming release in December, we'll have the rest done. We've also modeled the content from PROMISE. PROMISE is the NIH-sponsored activity for patient-reported outcomes. And this is sort of the new cool methodology of item response theory, which is basically the idea of you can ask questions that are used in computerized adaptive testing. And so the computer sort of simulates what question you get asked next, depending on your answer to the previous one. So you can actually get a higher precision of measurement by asking fewer questions, which means lower respondent burden and the like. So that's a pretty cool set, and we have all of their variables are now represented in Loink. But there's actually a whole bunch more cooking. This is sort of what my office looks like, right? No, just kidding. Not really. But there's a lot, right? So genetic testing, we're working on lots of different forms and assessments, additional radiology report titles, structured documents, and importantly, perhaps for some of you at this conference, is the work on the NEMSIS data dictionary for EMS services. We're representing those variables in Loink for communication to the state and national levels as well. So with that, I'll say happy Loinking, and hopefully you learned a little bit, but I'd be happy to take questions at the end as well. Thanks.